Radio. Smoking. Wake up and smell the rock star. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas. Roll out old Texas skies. Boston, been there often. Hello, Cleveland. Sometimes I've done that wrong. Sometimes I've stood up in front of a city, and you always kind of have learned to drag the first consonant in case it's the wrong city. I've stood up and... I've stood up in front of San Diego and went, almost said Cleveland. You know, you get a little spun out after the fourth show in a row. And I go, hello, can you feel the noise? Here's somebody who's feeling the noise. A British prisoner changes sex, but then he changes his mind.
Too late now.
Hey, that was good. I'm going to read it again, and then you do the guitar. Here we go. A British prisoner changes sex, but then he changes his mind. See, what we're doing here is somewhere between the guys in Led Zeppelin and what Letterman and Schaefer do. We have a one-man band over there, Brian Young. He's live in the studio every morning. Say hello, Brian, on the guitar there. Give it up. Anyway, in honor of the British prisoner who changes sex but then changes his mind. A British prisoner who transferred from a men's jail to a women's facility after changing sex had opted to swap gender and prisons again. John Pilley was granted permission in 1999 to have a sex change, the procedure taking place in 2 years later, after which, as Jane Ann Pilley, he was moved to Holloway Women's Prison in London. However, the 54-year-old, serving a life sentence for attempted murder and kidnapping, has decided to become a man again. This is a quandary. It's not quite on the level of Angelina Jolie. Pilley was waiting to have the new operation again to be carried out by Britain's State National Health Service. I guess this is like state-sponsored, after which he will be transferred back to a men's prison. This is one of those stories where, you know, the guy was working on the roof and he fell down and the thing holding the bricks came up and hit him, and then the rope broke and he fell down and the car hit him and he got kicked back up to the roof. Linda, we have Instructor Reisman here. Say hello, Linda. Check your mic there. Make sure your mic.
Good morning, Dave.
Okay. Instructor Reisman was my EMT instructor here, okay? We had such a good event of it. She now works along with the wrecking crew here. Linda, have you ever seen or heard anything like this? Somebody who's gotten something changing, that all the time that you worked in the ambulances and emergency medical services here in the state of New York. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Go.
Yeah, Dave, I have. And we're going to be all in trouble here because I got some of this stuff confuses me. Okay.
Well, we'll help unconfuse you. That's my new job.
Am I doing okay with the mic today?
You're on. Go ahead.
Okay, because I had a problem keeping my mouth on it yesterday.
You're not alone.
Spoken like a true lesbian.
You are not alone.
Well, I had said to Linda, Linda, you're new at radio. Linda, we never knew that Linda had a radio voice or a radio presence. I knew she was just a wonderful gal. She was great to work with and everything. And I said, come on, you have a special view from the inside out here of, New York and, you know, this special services and everything. And she wasn't speaking into the microphone. I said, I've never seen it up close. You put your mouth right up close to the mic here. I said, from where I stand, I'm usually from where my eyes are, I'm 4 feet above what happens.
Linda's got to talk into the mic. Someone's got to push her head down.
Actually, Dave, I did practice last night.
Well, the mind fairly reels, and I want to talk about that after this. Now, this guy, you said you've heard about these guys. Wait a minute, let's talk about it now.
The whole thing is very confusing to me because you have these men that want to have a sex change and become a woman. And then they want to still sleep with women. Does that make them a lesbian? It's confusing to me. I even get confused.
Okay, now this fella changed his sex in an effort to get to the women's prison, right?
Oh, I know what was happening here now.
Go ahead, tell me. What do you know what was happening?
Okay. What was happening is probably he was really getting a really hard time in the men's prison, and he said, what could be, how do I get out of this?
You think he got a sex change in order to get out of the men's prison?
Right, that's what I think happened. And he realized that the lesbians were a lot tougher than the men in the other prison.
British lesbians? Are British lesbians tougher than American lesbians?
I don't I've only dealt with a couple of them.
Come on. Wait a minute. They only come in pairs, Lynn. That's a trick answer.
There you go, Dave. No, you know, I have seen that people did not, they were not properly profiled, I think. And, you know, I think that sometimes this does happen. And there's a whole profiling process to this where you have to live as a woman or live as a man for a year.
What happens in New York when somebody gets that done? Are you familiar with what happens here?
I'm very familiar with it. And, you know, you have to kind of like, there's a process to it. First, you get this whole psychological profile. And there's a whole couple of different people who look at you. And then after that, you have to actually live as the sex you want to become for a period of
time. With hormones and everything?
Well, first you do the dressing, then they do the hormonal thing, then they reprofile you. And then you kind of, they try to see how you're going to adapt to society in that sense, and if you're handling it well. And
do you cry at commercials?
Exactly. You know, no, seriously. But I've heard of a few cases where people, you know, just wanted to go back to the way they were. Now, maybe they weren't, they didn't get lucky in the sex they became.
Who were they in the beginning?
No, there was one, I know one woman who wanted it so bad to become a man. And then I know one man who really wanted to become a woman, and then they were not happy. I know them personally, and it was the weirdest thing.
What job do they hold when you're
one,
that person?
One actually held a job in a college, as a college professor. And
wow. And he became the tennis instructor.
Exactly.
You totally lost me.
The other one's at the circus.
And then there was this one woman who actually was a student of mine who I have a hard time telling if she was a man or a woman in my class. I really, really, truly did. And she would actually like walk before she got her operation. She was like packing, like with battery operated Bob, you know, and a battery operated boyfriend there. And she would like pack, you know, and like act like a man and dress like a man. And you know, she explained that she broke it all.
How much does an operation like this cost? Do you have any idea?
It could really range anywhere, depending upon where you go and out of the country. I mean, it could range anywhere from $15,000 to $40,000 or $50,000, depending upon where you are. And
do they do that kind of stuff in America? Don't you have to go to Thailand or Colombia or something like that?
They do. There's a whole special on that.
It takes a whole lot of Velcro.
I just can't get the image out of my mind of this guy outside the prison hospital dumpster digging through it going, oh, come on. It's come on.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Great.
Where did I put it? Where did they put it? It's in here.
Don't do this to me.
It's in the, I left it in the McDonald's. Must have thrown it out with the McDonald's.
I want to know if these people really, was it a gender issue for them when they want to go back to where they came from in terms of their sexuality, or was it a sexual issue? And that's what you have to profile when you look at these people.
What's the difference?
The gender issue is, do they really feel as the person that they are in the body that they're in? Do they really feel like a man?
I have no idea. I'm just wondering now if this was state paid for. This is the National Health Service of Britain.
In England,
state.
It's national health. Everything's paid for.
You can get that change, right?
Oh, yeah. I believe you can get anything on the National Health Service over there.
Can you get heroin? Did I not see that
you know what? I do believe you're right on that, too. I think that there is a way of getting heroin, if methadone, certainly, but most
road
medical
trip.
Procedures.
Yeah.
I was planning to spend the weekend in Vermont. Turn up the music or I'm going to get fired. Okay, while we're on the subject of children, Naomi Campbell conquered her fear. Hey, that was a joke. Anyway, Naomi Campbell conquered her fear of death by literally looking it straight in the face. The supermodel's adopted mother, Mary Blackwell, wife of Island Records founder Chris Blackwell, passed away last year, and the funeral home had done this makeup for her. It was awful. I wiped it off of her. Oh, stop.
That's, you know, was the most time that Naomi ever spent with her mom.
Stop.
That's wrong.
I'm going to finish
so
it.
So wrong.
No, hold on. Okay, here we go. Mary Blackwell, the other day, she said, I wiped it off of her. This is her dead mother. She said, I wiped it off of her, redid everything, fixed her hair. I've never spent so much time with a body before, she told the London Observer. It was a big learning experience because it made me not afraid of death anymore.
And now the mom is the new MAC glamour makeup person.
Is she on the cover of something? This is twisted.
Yeah.
This is twisted, man. Come on.
Just that she referred to her mom as, I've never spent time with a body before.
Well, I'm just, and she may have relieved her fear of death, but it's filled my fear of death bucket to the brim, because now I have visions of my cadaver being the only time I'm in contact with a supermodel.
So is she afraid?
That's a bad deal.
Is she afraid? Is she afraid of death or just bad makeup?
Blue eyeshadow.
Well, in her That's business, bad of. Makeup is death.
That's right. We've done the math.
This is twisted. Wow. That she would be able to do that. That's a fixation. That's some kind of a fixation. That would... Well, that sounds like ancient Egypt, actually. Did she put a toothbrush in the coffin?
A couple of pick six cards.
And a cell phone. Oh. She's got... Well, we're off to our usual flying start, like my parole officer used to say. You're listening to Roth Radio, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Reading the news. What do you do after you shoot the Pope? The gunman who tried to assassinate Pope John Paul II is sane and wants to work for democracy around the world after his impending release from prison. Where did this all go down in Vermont? His lawyer said on Wednesday, Mehat Ali Akha is relishing the prospect of freedom when he is released on parole on Thursday after 25 years in the dump. Attorney Mustafa Demirbag said in an interview, okay, the guy who shot the Pope, did he actually shoot the Pope or did he miss?
I think he hit.
I know that the Pope was shot. I guess this is the guy.
And he gets out after 25 in the slam.
Yeah.
Is this a reasonable thing? I don't think so.
We talked about it the other day. I know you hated it.
And he's going to work for world peace? Yeah, the way the centerfold works for world peace.
Well, you know what he's doing right after he gets out of jail? He's going to Disneyland.
That's right.
Is he really?
Well, you know, I just want to kick it with my homies. You know, bang up on a burka or two. And just live free, baby.
Do these explosives make my ass look fat? Does my ass make this room look small?
Oh, man.
Well, what does he want to do? Like, make it, like, you know, go fight for democracy and then go to other countries and make, you know, and make it okay to shoot people?
No, this is his version of finding Jesus, okay?
Oh. There you go.
Yeah, this is his...
He found Allah.
This is his routine, right? So now, and he's got all the attention in the world. Here comes a mini-series. He's going to be on Oprah.
Sure.
Dr. Phil is going
to,
you know...
Well, in America, he got 25 years, so maybe he wants to go to other countries and make sure they don't cut people's hands off for killing people or something. What the heck?
What country did he come from?
I don't
know.
No,
it reads like Mideastern.
I think it's either Algeria or Egypt, maybe.
Who knows? He shouldn't be out.
Okay. I just, you know, all this and good old Charlie Manson's still in jail. I don't know.
God.
It's not right?
No, it's not. It's out of balance, like most of our show here. Roth Radio. We're going to open up the phones in a little bit here. You guys got another news item? You got anything you want to cover before we start getting into... The colorful stuff?
Well, I noticed on the rundown sheet here that Ted Kennedy has written a children's book.
What is that about? I wondered about that when Madonna did a children's book or whatever. Now, what is Ted's background? Isn't that the bridge?
I was going to say, the name of the book is Driving Over the Bridge to Forever.
And I understand the book comes with a sippy cup of breakfast beer.
There you go.
Shake the name it. Ted Kennedy's new children's book, Billy's First Breakfast Beer.
What do you think? Did he actually write this, or is this a ghost? This is a ghost.
He probably couldn't even hold the pen without shaking.
Oh, God. The kids just want to climb on the topography of his nose.
I'm curious. Now, what is his actual position that he holds in the government? What is his actual definition? Is he a senator?
He's a U.S. senator and he's from Massachusetts.
And he's been involved in this since the early 60s, right?
Sure.
What compelled him suddenly to write a children's book?
Well, the publisher says, my senator and me is a dog's eye view of Washington. It's told from the point of view of Senator Kennedy and his dog, Splash. He's going, oh, that's ironic.
I didn't even spell it.
No, wow. Did anybody at the editing house say, you know, could we revisit the dog's name? Because Splash might connotate Mary Jo Kopechne.
Yeah, somebody should say something.
Or it was actually shortened from With a Splash.
Right. Oh, that's good.
What's the name of the book that he's writing?
Yeah, what is the actual name? Does it have a title there?
It's called My Senator and Me, A Dog's Eye View of Washington, D.C.
Didn't or don't cross the bridge.
That's right.
Don't cross the bridge. Saddle up and...
Didn't one of the president's wives write a book about their dogs? Recently, in the last 10 or 12 years.
I don't know. This is when people run out of gas. You know, this is the cheapest way of getting attention.
Mm-hmm.
You get involved with the kids. You know, okay, I got a coloring book for the kids, I guess, so, because nobody dares say anything against the kids, right?
Good point. Right. They're the holy ground.
Yeah, and or you do something to do with animals, because nobody, you know, dares say anything about that. Every day, I get on my camel and ride. Hit me up on that track one time there, Hutch.
Every day I wanna get my kite. Every day I wanna fly my kite. Every day I wanna get on my camel and ride.
Ooh.
Every day I wanna shake your hand. For in the world making me a better man. And every day I wanna get on my camel and ride. Ooh, baby. And when my day is through, nothing to do, I'll just sit around grooving with you. And I sing, God of love, having you around.
Oye, míralo. Ten cuidado ese. Aquí lo tienes. Ahórrale. Míralo, míralo. La maceta. Tenemos oportunidades aquí. Aquí lo tienes, Roth Radio. Desafortunadamente no hablo suficiente español para hablar con ti solamente de lengua, pero tenemos Nueva York, Filadelfia, Dallas, Texas, Boston, Cleveland. I just went into a different country there. Pittsburgh. Oye, Pittsburgh. Oye, Pittsburgh. Y the West Palm Beach, La Playa. Oye. Un milagro aquí. Tenemos... conversación importante aquí. Por ejemplo.
¿Dónde está Yakima?
I can't beat that. No, I was watching on TV. You know, obviously, I come from Mexifornia. You know, I lived there long enough to qualify. You know, and I'm talking to a whole lot of people who speak Spanish. Que están hablando en solamente en español. The people who only speak Spanish as a first language. Is Spanish the second language of this country now? La segunda lengua de este país, sí. Absolutamente. Go ahead.
You know, they have delis in L.A. now called Mexicatessens.
What's a Mexicatessen?
It's, you know, you can get, like, Mexican corned beef sandwiches or whatever the equivalent of. But I'm serious, Mexicatessens.
Okay, is it a Mexican bagel? Is there such a thing?
You got a nice lean corned beef with a little jalapeno on it.
What is a bagel? First, by definition, a bagel is a donut with an education.
It's a savory donut.
Oh, by the way, speaking of, you know, I have some raíces. I got roots here a little bit, you know. I was talking to the fellow who had been to 1,000 bars yesterday, Dan Freeman, good guy, he was a good guest here, and he had spoken about the worm that goes in the bottle of the tequila, right?
Yes.
In fact, there is a reason for that, aquí lo tienes, here it goes, is that when you go out into the way interior, okay, where I have gone, then the farmers make their own mezcal. All right. Tequila is actually mezcal grown in the Tequila Valley. All right. Mm-hmm. It's like champagne is sparkling wine, but it must be grown in the champagne, whatever there.
Valley.
The Valley of the Jolly, huh?
Oh.
And animal? You want to weigh in on this? Okay. In tequila, what happens is the farmers use different kinds of bottles and they cork it. Mm-hmm. All right. Obviously, there's no machine to put the beverage in the bottle. And they put a worm in the bottom. They put a cork in the top and dip it in sealing wax, like candle wax. And what happens sometimes is when it's sitting on the shelf for a long period of time, the sealing wax dries out and there'll be an imperceptible little leak in the top of the bottle. And there will be alcohol seeping over a period of time. And if the alcohol content goes down, then the worm breaks up. It doesn't stay preserved.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what you do when you go out into Jalisco province and these kinds of places that are way out. He had been to Puerto Vallarta. And that's where you start. From there, you can drive all the way down into Playa Blanca and then into the interior for hours and hours and hours. And there is where you find these little shacks. And they make it in the bucket or whatever. And they put it in different kinds of bottles. It'll be everything from witch hazel to Gatorade bottles. You know, seriously. And they put a cork in it. And they you wax it up, and you check the worm. You look at that first, you know, and if it's completely in one piece, then we have a deal, essay.
What kind of, it's not like those gross, smelly worms that come up on the pavement.
Well, what other
after the rain? Like, what kind of is it?
What other kind of worm is there? A worm lives in plants.
But I've seen those in bottles, and they look like little larvae.
Yeah, it's just a little. Oh, it's just a little plant worm, or
you know what they are? I'll tell you what they are. They're good eating.
Animal, have some.
They're actually on the Mexican bagels.
Hold on, say that again, Animal.
Don't they turn into butterflies after you drink it?
Close.
You do.
But you will.
Your brain,
no. No, those are, you're thinking about caterpillars and everything. The music that we have in the background here that we're playing, in fact, all the music that you're hearing during our show here is my personal collection, for better or worse. That's why I travel with an Animal.
I got an email yesterday from somebody requesting that you make CDs of this music. They love the music you're playing so much,
yeah,
they want you to release it.
This is just my personal stuff. And in the background here, you hear the band that I put together in Miami Beach when I did my Vegas trip. That's when I first met you guys.
That's
remember?
Right.
And I had decided, okay, I want to do Vegas. This was when Las Vegas was... they were in the family phase.
They hadn't
turned into the cool place that it is today. They were trying to cater to the kids.
Still all water slides.
Yeah. Yep. And they were going Disney World on it and everything. And I went down to Miami because this is the only city in the United States where there are still a lot of cover bands, a lot of places, clubs and bars, where you play what we in Van Halen called the left-hand side of the chart.
Yeah.
It's always got to be a freaking art project with Ross. I said, okay, Miami has all these great clubs, all these great bars. That was a good move.
I can tell you, it was the James Brown freeze. I was absolutely paralyzed until you released me.
This was the band that I put together. These guys all played. They have an expression in South America that you have to go north to conquer the south. If you want to make a record or you want to put a band together or make a video, you have to travel from South America up to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these great musicians, especially Cubanos, Boricua, Mexicano. It's all, you know, everything that is Hispanico. You have that. I almost said it in Spanish. You have it all right there. And they play in all kinds of club bands. The people who play, for example, the rhythm, the brass section from Gloria Estefan's band, that's who you're hearing in the background here because they all work different clubs and stuff in time. And I rented a big warehouse and we put the band together and I said, this will be my vision of Las Vegas. And I would sit signing paychecks every Wednesday in the garage where we rehearsed and everything and the guys would line up at the payphone with their paycheck in one hand and make excuses to their wives about how practice was going to go very late that night, and I would sit on the couch, and they didn't know. Yo hablo español. Oye. And there would be 15 guys standing in line for the payphone, and in 1.5 hours, you wouldn't hear one syllable of English. Turn it up. Anyway, I got kicked out of Vegas.
You know, oh, yeah. It's funny you talking about that time, Dave. I mean, that was when we first met you, and we still talk about the first phone message you ever left on our machine, and it was with this band, and they're wailing in the background at your rehearsal place in Miami.
And it started out with Dave going, "Shut up! I'm on the phone!"
And it ended with, you mentioned a couple of things, and he said, "And okay, that's it, and I hope your life remains a cabaret." We still quote that to this day.
Well, my life is a cabaret.
No question.
I wish I could share it with just every one of you listening here. Come to the cabaret, old Jones. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and Yakima. Anyways, I got a special kinship. That was the warm-up here. You know, I have a special kinship. I drive a 1951 Mercury Lowrider, which, by the way, is just up the street. Where did we send it to get detailed, Lynn? Where did it go?
That would be in Connecticut, Dave.
There you go. Connecticut the dots. But they're detailing it, and we're getting the new stereo put in. And when the weather fits up right, we'll be cruising, you know, from Broadway to Cheyenne here. So it's part of my roots here. It's part of my thing. And, you know, when we get to discussing what's happening with all the Mexican folks and the people are coming up from South America to work in the hurricane division down there. And, you know, where Katrina laid waste, you have a whole lot of illegals working down there to rebuild the city. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of controversy about, wow, do we soften up the immigration laws or what happens down there? I have some interesting views myself, but maybe you guys can teach me something I don't already know. And the politicians are complaining because they lost their gardeners to New Orleans.
A lot of leaf blowers all of a sudden.
We're going to start taking calls. I'm going to open up the phones. We're going to take a break in a little bit. It's 866-313-3733, because I'm absolutely convinced. Nick, do you speak Spanish?
I do not.
Why not?
Because he married an American girl.
You know,
why don't you speak Spanish?
Yeah, you know, it's I guess I've got that, you know, old resident thing of like, well, you know what? I speak American.
Okay, well, you know? I think it should be, at this point in time, mm-hmm. we're sitting here. I'm not concerned with what's going to happen to the grandkids. I'm not mm-hmm. going to be here for them. I think it should be... Well, I'm not going to say it. Are we time for spots yet? You want to go for that? 2 minutes?
You then I'll say it.
Go ahead and say it.
Spill it, Roth.
Now, I learned to speak Spanish from a wetback. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
He comes swimming over the...
Rio Grande.
That's what he called himself. His name was Alberto Correa. He's illegal, and he worked
it's
at
already
the...
already sexy.
Worked at the stable. He had 4 kids and a wife back in some province, back in Mexico, and this was in the 60s, and I worked at a stable. That was my first job. I was a chief shovel. Me and Alberto Correa. And that's where I learned Spanish. See?
Yeah.
Absolutamente.
I would love to be able to speak it. It's one of the things I would find it useful, and I'd love that. I just never got around to it. Never had to.
Well, you
got to
start off as a kid. Learning language is tough, man. Yeah. Learning to read in another language, wow, I'd rather dig post holes in frozen dirt.
So, Dave, you think people should be bilingual? You know,
oh, absolutely.
Spanish?
And I think it should be absolutely mandatory in school. If you're old enough to operate a motor vehicle and listen to Jamie Foxx at the same time, you're old enough to get 60 words of what, I don't know, 30% of this entire country speaks at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about Chinese. We're not talking about Hebrew. We're not talking about Every single one of us, geez, when my father passed away, that's a white Jewish doctor, right? Who worked in the prison system. Over half of the people, I remember my sisters and I were kidding about it,
mm-hmm.
over half the people at the synagogue were Spanish speaking. Everybody from his closest assistant of 25 years to his karate instructor,
right.
to buddies of mine who used to go out drinking with him, to the mm-hmm. prison guards that he worked with, and all the police and everybody, et cetera, et cetera. You would have trouble knowing who died up there. No, it's the blonde guy.
You wouldn't know from the room. Yeah,
the guy without the mustache. And I say this all proudly, you know, yeah. because it's an expansion of the roots, man. I come from a Russian hardcore Old Testament kind of family. My God is a fierce and vengeful comedian, and what goes better than that? But a little hot sauce, baby. We're going to weigh in on this one. I want to hear what you think. Roth Radio, stay right there.
98.5
XCX. The second language of this country. So I got to ask questions. I've learned a lot in the last week, actually. I'm not used to admitting that. I learned something once in the late 60s, too, but forget what it was. But, no, we've got an interesting crowd listening in on this, and we've got emails coming here from South Korea. It says, the troops in South Korea, great show. Yo! Big shout-out, Scott, from Madrid, Spain. Great to know the DLR webpage. I can't pronounce your last name, Manuel Perro. Talking about the subject, 866-313-3733. Should we be teaching Spanish in schools, okay? Should it become mandatory that you have to learn Spanish? And should it be mandatory that if you speak Spanish as a first language, that you have to learn English? I mean, we have English class. That's ostensibly what that's for. Although I didn't ever learn English in English class, did you?
You pretty much know it before you get to school, don't you think?
Well, no, the English class is...
good words.
Well, you learned reading when you were little. You know, then English class became really reading books, learning how to read, learning, talking about books.
It wasn't conjugating verbs.
So much a language class, per se.
Well, we didn't learn any of that kind of stuff because look what's happening with all the kids today as far as, you know, these college entrance exams and, you know, what's going on. We're struggling with English as it is. Reading ability is at a premium. How many of you read a book in the last month?
Sure.
Oh, knock it off. Not one of those.
That's a magazine, honey.
Okay. I got a question. I think there's so many good people here who already are here who speak Spanish that it should be taught in the schools and that it should be mandatory. And that English should be conversely mandatory. You come here however you got here. Mm-hmm. If you fell out of the sky in a bag in a stork's beak, you should learn English, right? Because, you know, blah, blah, blah. But maybe somebody disagrees with me. Cindy, you want to talk Spanish to me. Cindy, how are you this morning? Welcome to Roth Radio.
Oh, loving it. You know, you're absolutely right.
About what, darling?
About everybody should try to learn Spanish. There are more Spanish people here. Same thing.
Cindy, where are you pointing when you say here?
English. I'm sorry?
Where are you pointing when you say here?
Here, in New York, in America.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Orange County, New York.
Okay, because I tell you, it's a little different. We're talking in Dallas, Texas, down there. Tenemos muchos amigos que están hablando solamente en español. We've got a lot of people listening down there who only speak Spanish. So when you point in New York, maybe it's different than Texas. What do you think? She just fizzled out. Well, so much for those Chinese telephones. If they'd only been made in Mexico, huh? Okay, Jose, can you see? I love your song. Talk to me about Spanish. Roth Radio, you're live, Jose. Go.
I got a comment about this whole illegal immigrants going down there to clean up Katrina thing.
Okay.
Basically, while I'm all for, you know, taking care of the global view and things of that sort, it seems that the government is forgetting about the fact that we have our own jobless here within our own borders.
Yeah, but our government has allowed that joblessness to be created by allowing people to ship out $20-100 billion worth of tennis shoe business to Asia or China or whatever. I don't care. I don't care if it's
wholeheartedly. You know, I am a Spanish speaking individual. Hablo español y mi propiedad también se va.
Entonces,
you know, I'm all for education and for, you know, teaching everybody here in the United States to be bilingual.
Are you all ready to force everybody to do it?
I think that it should be mandatory, absolutely.
Mandatory Spanish and English.
Absolutely. We want to remain competitive in a global market, and we want to make sure that, you know, as a global superpower, which we're supposed to be the last of the superpowers, that we need to remain competitive in that kind of a global view. And, you know, we're being very closed-minded in the sense of our education as far as, you know, if you come here, you need to speak English, and that's it. And it's not even English, it's American. Let's be realistic.
I agree with you. Plus, if you speak both, you can pick up more chicks.
What I believe that we should be doing is, as opposed to having the illegals down there taking care of that, is we should be having government subsidized temporary relocation and housing programs to take some of our skilled jobless people that are out of work right now and put them to work taking care of these things. That's how things like Tokyo, you know, rebuilt their economy after they were completely devastated.
Okay, so what you're saying is we should close that border, that there should be no more immigration allowed, that we should really, really watch that border, and that we should employ the jobless who are in the United States. Is that your thought?
Not necessarily. I'm not saying that we completely close off the border. What I'm saying is that, you know, we as Americans believe in this, you know, fair market industry.
That's nonsense. In America, we don't believe in a fair market. We believe that Phil Knight should be able to ship out hundreds of millions of dollars worth of business to a place where they work in stinking sweatshops and where the life expectancy is what and the infant mortality rate is what and everybody chain smokes six packs of cigarettes a day because that's the only freedom that they have. And we're talking about everything from high top tennis shoes, which cost over $120 inner city, down to the little beads that they wear at Mardi Gras. I just saw a documentary about that. It's in Shantung, China, where they make those little beads mm-hmm. that they use it there. It's the worst. It's like out of Depression, Kansas.
Right.
Okay? The life expectancy there is deceased. You start off dying down
Tuesday.
There. Yeah. I think we should open the... Well, I'm not going to even go farther with this. Thanks for calling. Lori, talk to me in Spanish or English, mija.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
I agree totally.
With what?
You need to learn the language, but also the other countries really need to learn English before they get here. There's nothing worse than standing in a store when two clerks are having a conversation about you in Spanish, and you're standing there like an idiot.
Darling, the clerks are Arabs.
That's true. All depends on where you are, 7-Eleven or Walmart or what.
Okay, and do you speak Spanish? ¿Hablas español?
Not at all, and I'm totally lost. But let me tell you one thing. I work in a nursing home, and everybody's ID badge around their neck says, speak only English. It's not fair when American people are in these homes or hospitals, wherever they are, and nurses are talking another language. It really is not right.
That the nurses are speaking in Spanish?
Spanish or whatever.
Well, for starters, at least learn the dirty words. That's my recommendation.
Well, I know. That goes without saying.
And I want to also recommend that if you can learn 40 words in just about any language, there isn't much that you can't get done. Mm. You're not going to have intelligent, political, socially, cultural discussions, but I can't remember the last time I had one of those either. You will be able to extract a payday and a Slurpee with relative ease if you learn a few of the basics there. Do you have kids? Lori?
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old little boy.
And is he learning Spanish?
No, not at this moment.
Well, then hang up and get busy, girl.
Really, I have a lot to do.
Thank you so much for calling. Roth Radio, we have so much to do. So much to talk about. That's my band in the background playing there. That was the Vegas band. Hey, my roots are incontestable. Oye, míralo.
Do you know what the number one language in the world spoken is?
What?
It's Mandarin Chinese.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. English is number two. Hindustani is number three.
I would have never guessed that.
Spanish is number four.
Okay. Is it working its way up, or are the Hindus procreating at an accelerated rate?
The Mandarins, over a billion people speaking Mandarin Chinese, and then English...
Well, wait, Mandarin Chinese, the euthanasia. I want to talk about that. I know. Use a pun.
Took me a second.
Use a pun, go to jail. It's early. Spanish in school. Mike, talk to me. You're on number 13, Roth Radio. Go,
yeah,
go.
Mike, how are you?
Great, brother. What's up?
All right. Spanish speaking. I'm from Staten Island, down Fort Richmond area. Three quarters of them are here.
Three quarters of what is there?
Of the Mexicans are here.
Okay.
They take up every house, every apartment.
Mexicans have gone missing.
Mexicans, they drive in all the cars from North Carolina and Georgia.
Okay, and your buddy Joey Bag of Donuts agrees.
That's right.
But you got a problem with that?
No way. Don't hassle him. Let him speak his piece. So what would you do with him? Go ahead.
Send him back to Mexico. Let them go back there, live in their dirt houses.
Where'd your parents come from?
What's your background? You Italian?
My generation goes back five generations to the southern south.
Southern south of Italy?
The southern south of Italy, it sounds like.
No.
You're 100% American. South. You're like an American Indian or something.
I smell a Sicilian.
From south.
From south what?
Southern blood.
Nah,
Louisiana.
You know, Dave, my family.
Louisiana?
So you're French?
No, he's covering for something.
I smell a Sicilian, let me tell you.
He sounds Italian. He sounds completely Italian.
My family came here. My family Louisiana. Came here. My grandmother came here on the boat. landed in Ellis Island, and when she first came to America, she told me that, you know, the Irish didn't like them, and people were upset that the Italians started moving into the neighborhoods and, you know, hanging the sausage and doing that until mm-hmm. they ate the food, then everything was okay. But, you know, I think it happens in waves when immigrants come into the country.
No, no, it's a little simpler than that, Lynn. It's a little simpler than that, and I learned how to explain this in third grade. It goes, turn the music off there, Hutch. It goes like this. The Buddhists hate the Baptists. The Catholics heard the news. Unitarians hate the Presbyterians. And everyone hates the Jews.
Yay!
You can put the music back on. Okay.
Well, there is an interesting issue with this, Dave, though, because, you know, why are we making the exception with the Spanish language? Fascinating what you just said, Robin. It's not even in the top five, but this is, you know, and
well, it's
we
the
all,
top five in
it's,
our country.
It's four. It's
I understand.
Four,
but, you know, it's, you know, there's a tradition in America that, you know, I'm first generation. My father is Hungarian.
You're not Mexican.
No, I'm not.
Sorry.
But, you know,
he is in the past.
He came here with a thick Hungarian accent, but he spoke English, you know, and that's always been, you know, people come from wherever and assimilate in. And so I think part of the resentment is, well, now why are we making exception for one language, one mother tongue in a country that houses everyone on the every language going?
Unless you're Native American, everybody came with a different language.
Right.
Native Americans didn't come from here either. They probably came from China as well.
You're probably right.
Could be.
So, how come we don't speak Navajo?
Well, it's one of the things that wasn't put in the Constitution. You know, there is no language in the original father's language.
All right,
so
you're reading me
go.
The map. I'm showing you the territory.
All right.
This place, our country, is second language Spanish.
Yep.
Every third person that you meet has some contact with that culture. Mm-hmm. Me especially. My first real girlfriend, Mexican girl, still lives in Pasadena, California, okay? The whole family, when we buried my father, we had the party at her Mexican restaurant. It cuts really close here.
Yep. Okay? I'm sitting shiva in a Mexican
That's
restaurant.
That's right, my bar mitzvah was at, well, I'm you know, stretching the truth there. He's flashing me. Don't go away. 866-313-3733. We're talking Spanish, baby.